Well, I don't know. I mean, let's get drunk and see what happens.
Yeah, okay.
That's sort of my motto.
That's a good motto.
Yeah.
Are we introducing ourselves yet? Are we doing this?
Or do you feel? Do we have any more jokes to make?
No, I don't think we've made any good jokes yet.
I don't think I brought any good jokes.
What was your lunch?
I ate a cheeseburger.
Okay. You can say the name. They're our show sponsor.
Are they literally, or they're just...
We're trying really hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I keep on sliding in their DMs, and they're not answering.
Blue Collar Burgers.
Did you get tater tots?
I didn't. I saw them. Oof. They looked a little expensive.
Oh, no, you get a lot of them.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I got a small fry, and it was still... I
would have shared those tots with you, but whatever.
Next time.
Yeah.
I went to our other sponsor, Wendy's.
Uh-huh.
I was at... it's not Cubby... Curry Subaru in the Mid-Hudson Valley, where this dude named John sold me a Subaru Outback.
Wow.
2011.
Oh, when you mentioned a car, I thought you were, like, taking a taxi.
Oh, no, we bought a car.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn.
Me and Yuma.
AOC's gonna be so pissed at you. That Green New Deal, man.
Yeah, you mentioned that on the internet.
Yeah, but these people didn't hear it.
I didn't hear it.
So, yeah. And then I got, more important than the car... This smells weird. I got a spicy chicken sandwich and French fries at Wendy's.
That's the perfect order.
Yeah. That's the
correct.
Yep. That's the just after youth soccer when I was seven order.
Mm-hmm. Just after signing yourself into debt. Like, you know what? Give me that spicy chick.
She's a little spicy to me, dog, but okay.
Has Wendy's corporate ownership done something horrifying, or is that a different fast food franchise?
I think they're chill. I mean, Chick-fil-A is obviously the worst one.
Chills hell.
I do think there was something about Wendy's, like, weren't paying their tomato farmers enough, but I think they corrected that because people were pissed for a while. Dave Thomas was an angel, and probably is literally an angel now.
Because he's dead?
Yeah.
So ethically blameless is our take on...
I mean, look... And
relative to...
They work within the capitalist structure. They're not blameless.
As we do.
Yes. Not me.
But, I mean, as far as...
You own a car. You're a car owner.
Whatever. I'm stealing it. Actually, here's my hot take. I'm glad Dave Thomas is dead, because that's one less white dude.
That's a good take.
Am I right, guys?
We're only years away from, like, the Dave Thomas hologram tour. It's like him and the Time to Make the Donuts guy, like, fighting it out on a stage.
It's gorgeous.
Would you have for lunch, buddy?
Oh, I ate some chicken that my wife made for dinner the other night over a fennel salad.
Oh,
it was fucking dope, and not like the food you plebes just ate. Yeah,
I got caloric energy.
I'm a gourmand. I don't know about you guys. I did go to the worst Mexican restaurant I've ever been to last night somewhere in upstate New York. It was really bad. And there was a line of like 50 people waiting to get in for the worst enchiladas I've ever tasted in my life.
What was it like bad in like the bland like?
Yeah, it wasn't bad in like a, oh, I'm going to feel sick. Like I wish I felt sick.
So it was
afterwards.
Like a lot of Dave Thomas's outside.
Yeah, no, it was like as we were walking in, an older guy was walking out and he goes, oh, it's a great meal in there. You guys got to get the fajitas.
Oh, no.
And we're like, okay. And then he was like, I got the shrimp fajitas. We're like, when are you going to stop talking to us?
You're not in New York anymore.
Yeah,
people
exactly.
can just continue conversations.
Why are you making eye contact with me?
Where is the line? Like, what county do you have to cross before old people aren't scared anymore?
Westchester?
Because, like, in the city, old people are terrified of me.
Yeah.
They think I'm going to do knife crime or something.
Yeah.
But, like, after Westchester, like, how are you?
Yeah. Like, you remind me of my grandson.
An old lady talked to me at a bus stop the other day, and it was kind of
so
nice, but
yeah.
Then I realized that she was with, like, her adult daughter, and she was clearly visiting from out of town. I was that's why you're starting conversations with strangers.
And you look like a nice Midwestern boy.
You don't look dangerous.
Part. Yeah.
That is the consensus.
So the old guy who sold me a car today said that...
He was old?
He was old. He was very old.
I think you have to be old to be upstate.
He said... you have to make sure your name matches your driver's license exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why? He said, because of 9/11. And I swear to God, I just said, oh, I didn't get involved. I didn't do any of my trademark patter.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of questions I have about why 9/11 affected the used car industry so much. Yeah. But
well, if you remember on 9/11, they flew those cars into those towers.
They actually crashed a Subaru in there.
That's why we don't have flying cars anymore.
The thing is, the Subaru actually lasted through the crashing into the Twin Towers because those are well-made cars.
Oh, yeah. They're almost as good as a Volvo.
If you get a Subaru at, again, Mid-Hudson Curry Subaru, woof.
Wow.
You can crash into the Pentagon. Which I will do next.
We're racking up sponsors. That's the government building you're going to drive your Subaru into? I mean, if I had to choose, it's not even my top five.
Where are you going to crash? Where you're among friends.
Well, Supreme Court. Yes. Do all of the ones that I want to hit sit on the same side?
Oh, that's nice.
For instance.
Yeah. I think I would just go right for the Smithsonian. Just fuck this.
Yo, fuck
those
science.
Antiquities, man. Let's start from scratch.
Decolonialize.
I'm the Thanos of our universe.
So I just want to thank you guys for listening to our parody statements. Those were all jokes. Is that true?
Really good jokes, yeah. I will not get arrested for threatening to blow up the Smithsonian again.
What I will do is drive my Subaru and crash into Saudi Arabia.
Oh,
then I'll watch their shit.
That's a good call.
Wow.
Okay, so...
doesn't that canonically mean you have a crush on Saudi Arabia, though?
Yeah, I have a giant crush on Saudi Arabia. No doubt. Like the fucking thob and like the hat,
uh-huh.
Such a tight look. If I could pull that off, I would.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I believe in you.
I got a collarless linen shirt coming in the mail.
Oh,
so
shit.
I'm going to be kind of thobing out.
Yeah.
I'm kind of disappointed, by the way. You're not wearing the Mousquetaire shopping look
posted
on Instagram right now. You look like a sailor.
I tried to dress like upstate today, so they didn't think I was a dandy.
Mm. Yeah.
So wear my finest
wine
t-shirt. And a wool hat at the end of April.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, I think we made enough pitter patter.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Let's do the wine part.
Okay. Welcome to Disgorgeous. It's a podcast about wine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Duck.
I'm the dumb one. With us today, James Sly. We've been with him before. In the biblical sense.
Damn.
We did a Shannon episode with you, right?
What a surprise.
I was explaining to my wife which guest you were, and I kept saying you were on one of the Beaujolais episodes, and I realized I was wrong. But we did Shannon, and now we're doing the other Shannon, Mousquetaire. Wow. We made it.
This is the beginning of Mousquetaire.
You did it right.
I did it right. I've been practicing in my head.
Yep.
This is the nerdiest thing we've ever done.
That's saying a lot.
Except for having a wine podcast and playing Settlers of Catan.
Yes.
You don't like Settlers. You made a click.
No, I do. I'm just trying to think. Like, at this point, is Settlers like Normcore? Like, yeah, do you have to go deeper with your...
Yeah, you have to be like more of
like
a Ticket
to
Ride
gamers
guy.
Nerds in a forum somewhere being like, oh, he went for the easy Catan reference.
I heard about one where you have to collect birds. It's called like Wings Over Something. And the game's conceit is that you are a bird collector. And that sounded really exciting to me.
Oh boy.
I didn't get to play. I heard about it, and it's like when I heard about the Super Nintendo for the first time, just this wave of longing. I was like, I need this.
Alive or dead, the birds.
You're collecting like living birds. You have a bird fetishist.
I was imagining like a bunch of birds like pinned into like shadow boxes like butterflies.
No, it's not ghastly, I don't think. I think it's lovely.
You're not in the Bacoff. You're
So we are having Mousquetaire. This is our first episode, and today we're focusing on what kind of rocks?
Metamorphic.
So we're dividing all of Mousquetaire into different soil types for these episodes.
It was the only way to not have to do 9 episodes based on each crew, which would probably murder us. So
do you think it was a good idea now that we have you here in the hot seat? Should we have done every crew?
Well, no, because then you miss all the people who aren't in the crew commonu system.
There you go.
My bitch.
But yep. I do respect the ambition of dividing into soil type, because as I realized as I was trying to like re-bone up for this episode, like it's hard enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of multiple soil types, it seems. Like nature doesn't see lines the way humans do, is this thing I discovered. Like it's all a spectrum, and apparently Mousquetaire is all over the fucking place.
Yeah. I said this earlier, but I'll say it again because it's a really good joke. Rocks are hard. and it works two ways because it's difficult. And it's also very hard because they're rocks.
You came up with that one yourself?
Yeah. I workshopped it a bit.
Yeah, I bet.
But yeah, learning, reading about rocks for several hours was like great for my hangover. So, so yeah, I don't know. Metamorphic rock. It's pretty cool. Used to be other rocks. Now it's a new kind of rock. That's basically, in a nutshell, what metamorphic is, right?
That's changed. That's very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's not supposed to matter like what it was before the change.
Yes.
Like the if you're in like Ovid's Metamorphosis and yeah. like the goddess turns you into a tree, like the tree is the same no matter whether you were like a plant person before you were a tree or. Huh.
But there's always a poetic justice to in Ovid's Metamorphosis. It's like. You generally become something, and there's a logic to it.
Like a truth of yourself is expressed through it.
So I'm wondering what the granite was doing to be transformed into gnice. Mm. Like if it's like, oh, of course, my story is complete now.
So granite, your fatal flaw,
metamorphic rock. There are a bunch of different ones, but the ones we're going to focus on are gnice and schist
and orthogneiss.
Which is just a type of gneiss.
And then mica schist.
Which is a type of schist.
Yes.
Sure.
It's like how Pichu is a type of Pikachu.
Sure, exactly. And I actually had a guess that we would be doing a lot of Pokemon references in this episode, so that you've hit the nail on the head there.
Perfect. So the first wine we're having is from Pepierre. And this is the Les Grasses Moutons. And this is a Muscadet Sèvremen. If you guys remember from our original Muscadet episode, there's like a bunch of different appellations within Muscadet. There's basic Muscadet, which we're not going to even fucking touch. Sèvremen, which is where the majority of Muscadet comes from. And then we're drinking, and there's a couple others. Within Sèvremen, there are a bunch of Cru Communo, which is gets very complicated. This is a Muscadet Sèvremen, but it's entirely from a crew, which I cannot pronounce, which are resident Francophile.
Why are you looking at me?
Because you said it correctly earlier today.
Oh, the
it starts with a G.
Monocles.
Monier Sanfiac.
Yeah. Which I had never heard of until like today.
Which is also not correctly pronounced in French, by the way.
You did a very good job. It sounded good to me.
Look, we've brought you in to be a ringer. You know what you're doing. If you say it, it's probably right. It's better than what we would
do. So this is Ludi. It should be, it could be crew status, but it doesn't spend enough time on the lees. If this doesn't make sense, go back and listen to our first Muscadet episode because we're going to get deeper.
We can't go backwards. We'll be here for hours. I did today. My lovely wife was sitting next to me on the couch, and I was talking. I was like, yeah, I'm reading about rocks. And she was like, you are weird. And I was like, yeah. And then I got to like brush up on the crews. And she was like, can you just remind me again what a crew is?
Oh.
And I was like, oh, boy. Well, I explained like what a crew is in Muscadet or in Beaujolais. And then she was like, oh, so that's what it always is. And I was like, well, never mind. I'm going to stop. She was like, can you stop talking to me, please?
I love how words don't mean anything in French.
She was like, wine is so stupid. And I was like, you're not wrong. You're really not wrong. But here we are. If you don't know what we're talking about, you're probably better off.
So this is a simple, easy Muscadet grown on Microsoft. This is Clippy.
So the thing that I think was interesting about Muscadet in general is everyone, like in other wine growing regions, loses their shit over granite.
Mm-hmm.
But granite is a minority of the soil types in Muscadet. Most of it is metamorphic rock. So, for whatever reason, granitic Muscadet is just sort of lauded more, but it's not the majority of Muscadet, which I found interesting.
All the statements we've been making have question marks at the end.
Yeah.
Because I'm just afraid you're going to interrupt us and be like, not actually. Because I feel like if there's one person who knows what's going on in Muscadet, it might be you.
I was actually really excited to do this episode because I don't know enough about the topic.
Oh, thank fucking
God. So I thought I might actually be more cogent and make better points because sometimes on... Like, I went back and listened to the Shannon episode.
Yeah.
It's a mess. First of all, I say so many wrong things.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about that, too.
I could barely string two thoughts together.
Yeah, we fucked up a lot about soil types in Anjou.
Yeah, well, Sophie's wine wasn't even on Schist.
Oh, really?
First thing we did. Yeah, I met her at Racine's like 6 months later, and she's like, "Yeah, it's on like Argyle, like clay." It was like, "Fuck me."
You guys can't imagine his face, but it is like frowning, and there's so many tears.
Yeah,
he's like really upset. So patreon.com/disgorgeous if you want to see the
uncensored face. My glasses are all foggy.
Yeah. Oh, it's very cute.
I mean, should we talk for a second about why, about just the idea of talking about soil with wine, and or do we need to not go there?
We don't talk about soil enough in this podcast.
I agree. And a lot of it is because it's hard. Like you said, you might assume something that you heard it was grown in one soil type, and then the winemaker would be like, it's not really true. It's more like clay over with some sand. Like, but it obviously has an impact. I mean, it is a point of contention that it has an impact for some people, but I think...
But those aren't people who are real.
Those of us who really drink a lot of wine for educational purposes would disagree with that, right?
Yeah, and actually I do get angry at... not angry. Quietly frustrated.
Miffed.
Alone in my study.
I can imagine you like throwing your glass at a mirror. Like, these bastards! And then you see yourself reflected in the broken shards, and you're like, it's me I'm what angry if I at become? All along.
Your downstairs neighbors are like, no, there the monster's loose. This is a rage intervention.
I was just reading Alex Maltman's book on vineyards, rocks, and soils, and it's interesting because he's like a geologist.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's written basically, and he like teaches undergraduate geology. You can tell because there's a lot of like exclamation points, like there's five or six per paragraph.
That's good.
There's a lot of like bold words, and he's like trying to get through to the undergraduates.
Let's make he's rocks like, cool and yeah, interesting.
There's yeah. like a bunch of football players in the front row, and he's like, guys, like substratum.
These rocks are 56 million years old. That's older than your parents.
That was good. That was great.
I could be a teacher.
Mr. Diamond.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, damn. Mr. Diamond is my father's name. Call me K-Dog.
Call me Mr. Kevin.
But I think scientific, like, a lot of geologists are like, well, you know, like, you can actually taste rocks. And you're like, yes,
I know.
But, like, they're experientially, like, we drink a lot more wine than you, and there are differences, and you know it's a complex system, and there's microbiology of the soil, and if your soils are alive, and like you're having like there are clear imprints, and yeah. just because the cause and effect is complex and indirect doesn't mean
it's
that
it's not there.
It's very noticeable, and like granite versus limestone is easy peasy.
I feel like often that's like that argument is done in bad faith too. Yeah. Like, oh, you can't taste a rock. It's like you're purposefully like making the statement more vague so that you can prove it incorrect.
Right.
But no one's saying like I taste what schist tastes like in this necessarily. But I do taste what this grape tends to taste like when it's grown on schist. And the fact is that whatever the vines are grown on will affect so many variables, like water retention, yeah. like heat retention, and those yeah. will affect the way the grapes taste.
Schist yeah. has very poor water retention, so exactly. the grapes have to dig super deep.
So one of the things I was reading about the schist specifically is that it's typically, at least in this region, at a 45-degree angle to the earth.
Hmm.
So the layers, so if we're talking about metamorphic rock, it's all – there's two types. There's foliated and unfoliated.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, right? So foliated is layered and unfoliated is solid.
Okay.
So amphibolite.
Like folios.
Right. So amphibolite, which is also
which is made of amphibians.
Here, exactly, is the solid
one. So it has
one.
To breed under – it has to lay eggs underwater.
Yes.
As a slimy skin.
Yes. You're being funny, but I'm going to lose my point.
Okay.
And it's very tenuous because it's just on the front
sex.
Of my brain. Whereas schist and gneiss are foliated because they're layered. And the schist being at that 45-degree angle, imagine all those layers are now up and down instead of side to side. This allows the water to go right through it, which also allows the vines to kind of crack it open and get into it. It allows it to decompose more. Mm-hmm. So there's a double effect there where the vines have to go deeper to get the water because it's running straight through these layers. Mm-hmm. And they can crack open those layers a little bit and get deeper. So you end up, especially with older vine stuff, with like very deep vine grapes, that like have to struggle to get water, and as we all know, that makes the grapes taste better. So there.
Kevin's gesture for getting deep is amazing. He's like, he's got his legs spread. He's like punching the ground.
Yeah.
Your entire body moved.
Yeah. Actually. Well, that's it was nice. I'm getting amped up.
Yeah.
Can I say before we get too deep into this?
Yeah.
And it's just one. Yeah. It's one pedantic note that we do all the time.
Yes.
But like we're gonna say soil a lot, but we're probably actually mostly going to be talking about bedrock.
Jesus,
except when we're
fucking
not.
Christ.
Call me Mr. Flintstone.
And like
Flintstone.
The soil is like
I'm gonna make that bedrock.
Derived from the bedrock,
yes.
But like clay and silt and loess and sand and humus are all.
Yeah. I'm refilling everyone's glass because this is.
Thank you.
We need this.
I appreciate you.
That's a very good point. And it's not necessarily pedantic because there is obviously a difference there. And something that we talk about with wine is like if there's a very thin topsoil and then you get to the bedrock very quickly, that has an effect.
Yeah.
Versus a very thick topsoil versus, you know, all these things, my point, have an effect on it.
Everything matters,
and,
right?
Yeah.
Now, my gentle bitches, what does this taste like?
Oh, I forgot that part.
We forgot about the wine.
It tastes like rocks.
Honestly, so what I've been reading is that in Muscadet, the presence of schist generally makes Muscadet more saline, more
bitter.
Granite is associated with like more earthy, and schist is associated more with like more Atlantic
saline,
taste.
Yeah, saline and sea.
Where's that? It's like a salty marshmallow.
Yeah, that makes sense.
This is really like what's weird is this was a very cheap bottle of wine. This is like $18,
mm-hmm.
And I normally don't think about $18 Muscadet. I got this because I was looking for grapes grown specifically on the soil type. By the way, no one in this fucking city knows that Muscadet has Cruz. Literally, every single wine store, with the exception of Chamber Street, did not know this was the case.
Mm-hmm.
I called them, I was like, do you have any Cruz Muscadet? They're like, oh, no, we just have one $19 Muscadet. I was like, do you have any Clissons? Like, oh, yeah, we got one of those. I was like, oh, you fuckers. You don't know.
I mean, I'll be honest.
Chambers was dead fucking on.
I
they are the goats.
Most of this because really of the now two episodes we've done on Muscadet. Like, when I started learning about wine, people just talked about Civil Men and then just Muscadet. Those are the two things that kind of mattered.
Yeah. And like certainly, length of Lee's age. Yeah.
Exactly. That was it. That was the entire conversation. And I think what Muscadet has been doing purposefully is emphasizing this crew program so that they can make more money because they're making very good wine that with a lot of noticeable differences. And like they're getting lumped in with just basic shellfish wine that has no aging potential and all this other stuff that's not necessarily true for all these wines.
This isn't lazy at all. And I don't...
Nope.
It's not gone
like
through...
3 months on the... Yeah.
It's not gone through Mala,
it? Shouldn't
it?
Have gone through Mala. It's like that... I compare Muscadet and Chablis a lot and that Muscadet is like better than Chablis. I just want to actually just say that unsupported.
I'm glad.
But like...
Dollar for dollar, Muscadet is better than Chablis.
100%. Well, yep. Also more people are doing in terms of vineyard work.
Yeah.
There's more good grow
things, sure.
Fewer people using chemicals in the vineyards, and I think
agreed.
Yeah, dollar for dollar. I just think it's a more compelling, more dynamic.
Is there a better wine dollar for dollar than Muscadet? And we don't have to spend the entire episode talking about this weird rabbit hole we go down.
Very few.
In terms of like French wine,
in French, yeah, I don't
classic
know if in
French wine, you can motherfucking
if you're in Spain or South America, maybe, but like in France, I don't know.
Because like if you like stuff that costs the same amount of Muscadet is like bullshit regions like the Ardèche or whatever. Like
I like Ardèche, but
yeah,
it's
I
okay.
do too. I love it, but like Muscadet, you could find books written about it like from 100 years ago.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I don't know. I think you make a salient point.
But typically it wouldn't go through Mallow. Like the way that you get richness in a cold place in Chablis is you go through Mallow, but you don't. And then
so,
the way that how you get there with Muscadet would be like Lee's contact,
Lee's contact
but typically
lots
not
of
Mallow.
Stirring usually.
Yeah, batonnage. Yeah, sometimes.
My question here is the non-Mallow. Are we talking about Mallow blocking, or is it just something about the environment is blocking it naturally?
Traditionally, the cold. Did it?
Sure.
I don't know. I bet now a lot
these
of
days most people are filtering, probably.
Yeah. I don't know about these guys. So Pépierre is like organic, like some of the big old organic beginners in the region and are associated very much with the natural wine movement. They still might be filtering and they still might be doing Mallow blocking.
Yeah. Especially with an early release bottling like this.
Yeah, this is specifically made, and I think something that maybe these producers are maybe concerned about now that they're adding the crew is that they're going to start charging more for these Cru Muscadet, and they don't want to lose out on those mm-hmm. volume sales either. So they're probably trying to hold back some of the younger vines, make some younger, like less lees-aged cuvées that they can continue to sell at that like 18 to 22 price point, so they can keep that market share. And then start charging more for their Cru stuff as that kind of like starts to filter through.
I wouldn't be mad if this was $30.
It's fucking delicious.
I would be a little mad.
It's hard.
Not for the quality of the wine in the glass, but because I don't want to lose mid teens Muscadet as
that.
Although on the flip side, one thing that we don't really see in the import market, and I don't have good statistics on this, but I was talking to Pascaline about it
statistics here.
But like the actual like. For most of the farmers in Muscadet, the reality is not like we're talking about like $18 bottles of wine. Like the reality is they're selling like a liter of their juice for like less than a euro.
We talked about this last
time. They're going out of – okay.
The French drink garbage Muscadet constantly.
Yeah. And these guys are going out of business like crazy.
No one brings
with
that
the
here.
Frost and the – yeah.
Like Americans actually, if anything, like Muscadet more than the French do because they haven't encountered terrible Muscadet at every single bar. Mm.
You're welcome, France, for World War II.
Rosé d'Anjou. And
I think I told this story on the introduction to Muscadet episode we did a couple months ago, but I brought a bottle of the Amphibian to a French family in Paris. They were like, bring a bottle of wine. We'll like hang out. And I got very French disdain from the mother of the family. Like,
we just call it disdain. It's 2019.
Right. But she was just like, oh, you brought this? And I was like, oh, yeah, it's actually like, it's a really good producer and it's like organic. And they also like basically paid me to take it. It was like on the shelf for $13. And I was like, give me 10.
Yeah, that's very good money.
I was like, okay. It was euros. But she was like, yeah, this is what you drink with seafood. And then kind of walked away because we were just having it. I mean, she was like, why would you drink this on its own? I was like, well,
this reminds me of the comment thread to like Eric Asimov's Muscadet article in the New York Times. Yeah. Like there were a bunch of people being like, this is ridiculous. Like no Muscadet should be more than $8 a bottle. Like, which made me so angry.
People's relationships to value and worth in wine are really fucked.
I spent $200 on Muscadet yesterday, and honestly, I fucking am stronger than Rube. Ever before. It feels so good. Like, just like, show me your finest Muscadet. Like, monsieur, wouldn't you rather have? No.
Flex,
only
actually.
Melon Bay for May. It was like the best day of my life.
Oh,
man. That's why I did dress like a little Frenchman. Just to be very fancy. I wore a beret.
Did you?
No, I don't have a beret. Do you have a beret?
No, I can't pull off hats.
No one can pull off hats.
I don't have the jawline. No, you.
I cannot pull off. I love you. You're wrong. Let's open another bottle of wine. You guys can keep talking, though. Just don't think
funny. Oh, is my wine still in the freezer?
Oh, it'll be fine.
Yeah, no, you should pull it out. Yeah.
Why don't we just pause this really quickly and open it up?
All right, sounds good. And we're back.
Oh my, this smells good.
Oh, nice. We've done good things to ourselves.
Excelsior.
Oh, that smells dope.
Oh, no further questions.
Oh, what a difference between those two wines, by the way.
So, when I called Chambers yesterday asking for, I need metamorphic soil, Melon Bay.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, this is the good one. You'll want this.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And then I went, and it was like a 2015. And I found the vintage overwrought. Mm-hmm. But this is Delinches.
Delinches.
The David Lynch's.
Ripe vintages are a good thing in Muscadet, I think.
You think so?
Like the one, I had three bottles of Joe Landron 09 at home.
Oh, yeah. Lovely.
I really wish I'd brought that today. But I didn't because I drank them all.
Oh, nice.
And they're just like fucking on fire. And it's a similar kind of profile to this. It's like like really forward fruit in a way that's surprising. Because, and we were just talking about this offline, but like the thing about as Muscadet gets older, like you expect much more of a savory, like kind of more difficult, like more seaweedy, more salt, like more whatever. But like this is just like super – this is just really tasty.
This tastes like an undersea pineapple.
Mm. Oh, like SpongeBob's house?
Yeah. This is what SpongeBob's house be tasting like.
I was like, Why do I know about an undersea pineapple?
Yeah. I've heard stories about this.
Oh, the old myths of my people.
They're all true.
We have spoken.
This is lovely fucking really bones, good. Player.
Yeah, so this is the Excelsior. you're going to make me say it. Luno Papin?
Yeah.
Papin. The thing I have the hardest time with in French is that vowels are different than Spanish, and the I is like...
The I throws me every time. The Excelsior, which always makes me think of that episode of South Park where Al Gore just yells it. In 2001, they started this project to highlight this crew, even though it wasn't a crew yet, but they knew it was going to be.
They were like trying.
So,
huh?
Right. So the crew Camino and Muscadet
got
its start fairly recently, and these have been bottled as Goulain in France since that time. In America, for some reason, this is not bottled as a Goulain. This is not ID'd as a Goulain. It is just a Muscadet. It's on the back. It says it's from Goulain. It's a Goulain.
Yeah,
but they assume that Muscadet pays the bills in America. It's very
not
bizarre.
Wrong.
I mean,
Excelsior pays the bill too. Like it's, I mean, it's branded very
right for sure. And you, I mean, you just went to reputable wine stores, and several of them were like unaware of the name. Like I don't know the names of all the.
I would say
nine crews at this.
No,
point.
Like, I know four. No.
Yeah,
yeah. That's Chateau Thébaud, Monu Saint Friac, Clisson.
Valet.
This one is one.
Valet.
Yep. Palais. Yeah. Valet.
Valet just. Or Valet. Is it two T's or one T?
One T.
Valet.
Gorge.
What?
Gorge.
Oh, yeah,
Gorge.
Yeah. That's right.
And there's more. Do we say Goulain, which I always remember because it sounds like an evil warlock, and the wines taste that way as well. Mm. And there are many more, but they're not important because no one thinks about them. I don't think the French do, and Americans certainly don't. It's crazy.
There's a lot of weird politics that go into this sort of Appalachian moves, and there's always like they're always like 33% bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, or just in terms of we got to have that guy, like you know.
Or you look at some, yeah. You even look at like you know the lines drawn in Burgundy, and there's always like one weird little like circle that sticks out of a straight line where like oh that guy was being a dick and demanded to be into that. Like it's like
have
there's
you seen,
no
like,
actual
the,
science.
The Finger Lakes AVA. There's like the one bit that stretches just south of Rochester.
It's gerrymandering.
Because
it's basically gerrymandering.
No, there's there's some big like commercial winery that's huge that's just south of Rochester. Basically, they wanted to like just get north enough that it's in.
Or it's a domain. Who's the one with the horse in the label? The Beaujolais producer, who's in Moulin Vent.
Roylet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're right in the border. And that's why they have the fucking horse, because they didn't have a name for a while because they were so upset about being in Fleury.
Right.
They were upset about being in Fleury?
They wanted to be Moulin Vent. Moulin Vent used to be better.
Yeah.
That's funny because their wines actually don't taste like Fleury is supposed to supposedly taste.
Right.
As you guys noted.
Yeah. Ketchup. Yeah.
I mean,
wait,
this is like we're like
a podcast about
in a comic Maybe. Book. There would be like editors note: go back to issue 275 to see what Spider-Man said about Doc Ock.
We are
Excelsior.
We are just comic book nerds, right? Like that's what wine is.
Yeah, it's just like comic books or video games or music or any other like thing that girls don't care about. It's just for guys.
Wine's just for guys. Wine for the guys. They should call it Gine.
I feel very uncomfortable being
this
in this
is
room.
Just so this is from a parcel planted in 1945 by the current winemaker's great grandfather.
Oh, really?
I didn't know
wines were that old.
Clos de Noël,
which means Christmas Clos. Christmas is closed, bitch.
36 months on the lees. Lots of stirring, as you would imagine.
Story.
80-year-old vines, as I said.
Do we have to explain
all Massal selection, no clones.
Do we have to explain what lees are?
We've talked about lees.
We know
on
what
this.
Lees are.
Wine poop.
Wine poop.
It's wine
that's a good
poop.
One. Yeah. It's like your dead homies. Organic certification is in process
your
here.
Your domies.
Yeah.
It's only in process?
Yeah, but they're using only organic fertilizers. Everything's done by hand, like green harvesting, you know, whatever, all that jazz, hand harvested.
They're but green harvesting?
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. They're doing debudding, de-leafing.
That's the sin of Onan, isn't it?
Shit. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I've got about this. And it's on mica schist, which is schist made out of mica. I also just have this in my notes, which I liked, from some very scientific rock website. It said, schists have a foliated or plated structure. And then, in parentheses, Schistosity.
Yeah, ooh. Schistosity.
A fucking amazing word.
We finally brought up schistosity. I'm so excited.
Oh my God. That is my a cappella group.
And do you know there's a related measure for nice called nisosis?
Oh, no. Yes.
Yeah, because it's all, because rocks are spectrums. Mm-hmm. So it's like there is no one schist. There's just like,
right.
And then eventually the bands are striated in a way that you're no longer in schist. You're right. In nice, but it's like, so, or like, you're no longer in shale, you're in schist.
I think we talked about this off mic, but they go from, they're basically different grains of gneiss to schist, mm-hmm. to shale, right? Or to slate.
And never the twain shall meet.
Slate is made out of
slate. Slate to schist, shale to slate.
Yes.
Nay? Yay?
Yeah.
Ish. Way.
Yeah. We'll just say yes, and if we're wrong, it's okay.
Perfect.
So this is interesting. This is like a more... serious wine than the last one. Obviously, more lees contact, more complexity of flavor, older vine.
It's this thing that French people do, which is anytime a wine's good, it starts getting Burgundian. And I really want to avoid that, which is why I was mad when you talked about Chablis, even though, yes.
Just to give shit to Chablis, not because I think that...
Just to give shit to Chablis. Like,
this has got so much... So I'm not going to make fun of you for this one. It's... There's so much more serious notes to this. Like this is like so. It's planting its feet very nicely.
Well, very nicely, but it's on schist.
Micah schist. Something I think about with this is how there was a conversation that was kind of happening in the wine world a few years ago around Mousquet, like when that was basically like kind of with wines like this being like, well, you know, it's good wine, but is it really like Muscadet? You know, is it like...
Fuck you!
Is it like too serious to be Muscadet? Like, does Muscadet deserve to taste like this? Like, should Muscadet ever be this rich and complicated? Which
I hate that.
The typicity conversation when it takes that, it's like, oh,
it's a weird combo.
But there's also, bad. I mean, there is an extent to it, like, you know, not all wine has to be serious, which is, I think, that like maybe the positive side of that. But on the other hand, like to deny profundity to a place because historically they've been dirt poor and you've been using them for cheap oyster
wine. It's two sides of the same coin. It's like poptimism in music where people are like, they're like, oh, I hate pop music. And that's bullshit. There's well-made pop music. And
yeah.
You should recognize that.
Right.
But then there'll be people who are like, oh, I mean, should... this music be this difficult? It's just supposed to be pop. Like, there's a second side of it where you're like,
yeah,
Jesus Christ, can you not win?
Like it's good.
Yeah.
It's very good.
And there's certainly conversations to be had about value of things. Mm-hmm. Where, like, should this cost this much? But that...
It should cost enough that the farmers can make a living.
This absolutely. Is free, by the way.
Right.
Like, where else are you going to find wine with this specificity for $32?
Yeah.
Itata.
Yeah, Itata's very good. And
you heard the Itata episode.
That was also a free wine. Like,
I went out and bought a half case just to make sure that nobody else can.
Correct.
Don't buy Itata from Chamber Street.
Here's what you guys should be doing. Pause this episode. Go buy some fucking old Muscadet. And by old, I mean anything that's not the current vintage. It's so good. Buy this bottle. It's very, very good.
Do you think people, like these wine stores, are hoarding old Muscadet right now? Do you think there's...
No, because I was begging them.
Chambers is.
No, Chambers, they were not. Be,
right?
No, they have some downstairs that they don't have for sale, and then they do occasional... They'll release some from the cellar, and they'll do like a 2014... Well, I don't think they're fucking with you. I just think...
They're fucking with me personally.
Well, honestly, I like that they do that. I mean, it's a hard thing to do as a wine
shop. I wish I did that at home.
To just sit on wine that you could be making money off of. But at the end of the day, they're probably going to get more money for it when they finally do release it. And they're doing you the favor of
aging
holding
the wine
it for you while it gets gooder.
Honestly, it's a labor of love. It's a shame that there are not a lot of restaurants in New York that can afford to have wine lists that have organically aged. Yeah. By which I mean, like,
let's talk about this
because they bought on release.
On our Nebbiolo episode, how many people I'm like, oh, it's very recent vintage for some Nebbiolo. I would love to drink a 2016 Barolo.
Yeah.
There is some good young Barolo now, by the way, I think.
Some, not necessarily on Italian wine lists. But
sorry, I said we again.
This is for off pod talk. But
talking about Nebbiolo on a Muscadet podcast.
I've been talking so much about like Muscadet, and like I will say that it is really undervalued in every way because everyone who's selling this is selling it for, I think, a less of a markup than they should because they don't think anyone will buy it. Mm. So,
and they're right.
When you're listening to this, we're doing this not just because we said we're going to do it, mostly because we said we're going to do it, but also because these wines are fucking stunning and good, and we have the no wines under 30 rule that we're not always sticking to, but there are so many good wines under 30 in this fucking category, it's unreal.
Yeah, I think like that's – just because there's a rule doesn't mean you don't break it, am I right?
This tastes I know that Twizzlers is fruity licorice, but if Twizzlers didn't exist – this tastes like a fruity licorice.
Like a red vine?
Like a pastis that's made out of mango.
I like this a lot more than Twizzlers. Ooh, mango pastis I like, though.
Yas.
There is a sort of clovey anise back.
Are you guys Twizzler people or red vine people?
Neither, dude.
Wow.
I'm
my
keto.
Mom didn't let me eat candy.
No, really?
Still? She doesn't know, man.
To this day, you know, it was all sweet baked goods in the Sly household in Michigan, man. Circa like early '90s.
Chocolate chip cookies,
Little Debbie cakes. Yeah, lots of homemade chocolate chip cookies.
You an Entenmann's boy?
Oh, am I?
Entenmann's fucking rip.
Entenmann's and a Nesquik was my stoned convenience store run when I was in high school. It was like, I'm high as fuck. I better eat and drink chocolate real quick.
How about Fryhoffers? You guys, Capital Regions motherfuckers?
Fryhoffers?
You find those in places where you can get a Stewart's shop. So not too far.
Stewart's is dope, but Fryhoffers I always thought were kind of stale, right?
Nah, man, their cookie game.
I think they're stale.
Nah, dude, you're wrong.
See, I was one of those guys that liked the chewy Chips Ahoy over the normal Chips Ahoy. Like, I want my cookies to have like a little chew to them.
My grandmother.
I want that crispy.
Underbaked.
Yeah.
Schistus cookies, not the
yeah.
you're more of a Marley limestone, like a Tufo kind of cookie guy.
Oh my god, I'm so natural seen right caves. Now.
Yeah, we're supporting you, but you're wrong. My grandmother stopped baking a while ago. She's like, Fryhoffer does it better, I was like, honestly, bitch, you're right. Also, I do it better. I'm the best baker in my family, and they all hate it. And none of them are listening. They all gave up. 38 episodes ago.
I did get worried when my parents started listening to the podcast. I was like, but there's no way they're going to do this every week.
There's no way they're going to get through this, but I am the absolute
best
baker.
Their parents have nothing but time.
Yeah, it's honestly true. I'm really like getting to my limit of rock talk. I mean, unless we're talking about dad rock, and then I could talk about that for a lot longer, but like real earth rock, that's my brain is hurting. But yeah, cool, marble.
And we haven't even switched, like...
I know. That's
bedrock
like,
types yet. Like, we're still on mica schist.
Yeah.
This one, I was expecting a lot more seaweedy notes.
There's a little bit of that. Like, I kind of feel like, you know when you're not, like, eating the seaweed paper that's in your ramen, but you're drinking the broth near it?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it tastes like. You can tell there's seaweed nearby.
There's no
it's like
fat.
If you made the seaweed, the thing that we taste is seaweed, if you made that really ripe, I think you would get to that pastis anise
right
maybe
situate like that's like kind of the road to it,
sure,
if that makes sense.
I desperately love this wine.
I think it's excellent.
It's really really nice.
Oftentimes in this podcast I realize I want a case of something and then I think about I just bought a car.
That was really good.
Yeah.
Between these two wines that we've just had, like price difference is what, $12 to $14?
Yeah.
Do you see a reason to buy the first one over this one? Like, if you wanted, like, a schisty wine. Like, this is such a more expressive wine, right?
If somebody's having a pool party, I think Grand Mouton would be more the way to go. But actually, of the lineup, Grand Mouton has not been my favorite Pepier.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's other cheap, like, just their cheap entry level, even.
I wanted to make mention of this, that these guys...
Luna Papan?
Luna Papan. They have an entry level that's called Happy Frogs.
What?
Do they?
Yeah. I've read about it on their website. They're like, we made Happy Frogs as a lark. It's just for having fun with your friends. And I was like, how did John not buy this one?
I didn't see. If I saw Happy Frogs, you can trust I would have gotten it.
There's
you
100%
take that,
chance.
Take that car money and just put it right into like.
Fill this car with Happy
I'm
Frogs.
I'm calling other John getting a refund.
But yeah, there's 100% chance they don't import that into America because it's like silly.
A wine called Happy Frogs. I know only one person horny enough to import that. And you guys are looking at him.
Importer.com selections.
Importer.com selections. Happy Frogs wine. Let's open some more bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to pause?
Let's get these nice guys in.
going to talk about maybe now, actually. There's...
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, welcome. This is officially going to be the longest episode of Disgorgeous so far.
It's going to be.
We've done no cuts at this point. Have we done cuts? Just you and me.
Well,
just,
we're not in the future.
But do you think we've cut anything?
We probably cut the first 3 minutes, and then like maybe that weird thing about your grandfather.
No, that's good.
Alzheimer's.
That's good. Everyone loves that part. Everyone's honestly, everyone is. Everyone plays Disgorgeous while they're making love.
Yeah,
and that's the part where they start thrusty.
That's the good part.
That's the good part.
So we hit our first cut.
No cuts.
Hey, welcome back to Disgorgeous.
This smells barrely.
All right, so we're going to talk about Muscadet. We talked about this on the episode about why it's called Muscadet, because it supposedly had a musky quality.
Oh, wait, is that really what?
Yeah, that's like what the literature implies. Like it was like...
You got two suspicious-looking blokes up in this club.
No, we talked about this in the last episode.
Okay, I'm going to
There are people who say,
episode.
It was probably called Muscadet because it smelled musky. I swear to fucking God, that's on the internet.
I'm going
to
put this entire mic in my mouth just to
it's
prove you wrong.
On the internet?
I've never been lied to by the internet once.
Actually smells like a Norman apple cider.
Oh, yeah.
There is some oxidation, yeah.
Yeah, it does.
I wonder actually whether the bottle's in perfect shape, but it is a library release, so you figure.
Libraries never let homeless people masturbate in them.
Well, yeah, they don't let them, but homes. They do it anyway.
They encourage them.
It's not. Yeah. It's really not just the homeless.
My library
is
just
the
like,
homeless. Like, there's a lot of houseful people that are jacking off in libraries as
yeah.
we speak.
I mean, you guys act like you never jacked off in a library.
My library is always like, here's a pack of tissues and some lotion just for your head or whatever. And they're like, just go upstairs. Because my library is extremely horny.
And just to be clear, your library is called Harry's House of Porn.
No, it's called the Brooklyn Public Library with all the Egyptian facade.
Do porn shops really exist anymore with the internet? Like,
have
they
been
driven out of
Village?
Yeah. Have you met immigrants, dog?
Actually, I don't get out there because the L train's not running very regularly.
Oh, shit.
I have to.
Check it out. They got some porn shops.
Have I been to a...
I mean, I was watching
The
Deuce
recently.
I
will say, yeah. The most time I've ever spent in like a porn shop was in Syracuse.
Yeah, Syracuse is a porn shop city.
Because all the head shops also doubled as porn shops.
Nice.
So you had to walk like through the adult film section, pass all the dildos, pass all the like latex suits, and then you got to the bongs and like the grinders and shit. Not that grinder, that didn't exist.
Oh, they were porn shops slash
yeah,
sex
head
toy
shops.
Slash head shops.
Yeah, it was porn,
I feel like there's
sex toy head.
We live in a diversified city. Like the sex toy shops are distinct from the porn shops.
In Q's, we call it Q's.
In the Q's.
It's like what the cool guys call it. We got to combine all that into one spot.
Sure.
And then there was rotisserie chickens in the back.
I was about to say, like, you know, in New York, you can have a storefront that just sells porchetta. And fine.
I bought a very expensive
rice ball store.
I bought
we only
Syracuse,
have rice balls.
The porchetta has to also be,
of course.
Yeah,
porchetta.
Yeah. I bought a very nice jacket recently, which you guys have all seen on my Instagram, probably. And
Patreon exclusive.
They were selling ceramic marijuana pipes for $90 in the back.
That's gentrification.
Yeah, it was very gentrification. I was like, cool. How much are these? And I didn't buy one.
Yeah.
But like, it is true that like now everyone smokes weed. I can't wait for J. Crew to sell porn. Remember when Abercrombie & Fitch sold porn?
Did they?
There was the porno Abercrombie & Fitch magazines where all the models were not wearing their clothes.
But they weren't full nude.
You could see boobs. God, I swear to fucking God, someone else has to remember this because Andrew Prokop showed me this in 7th grade and I was like, whoa.
There definitely was a time when some of the raunchier or like the more sexy clothing companies had like a girl in like a sheer shirt not with a bra on and you could see the outline of a nipple.
I want you guys.
But that's not the same thing.
American Apparel.
I want you fans. Freedom. Please, for the love of God. I know you, I've mentioned a lot of things I remember that are wrong. If this is real, slide into one of the DMs. Please prove this real. Abercrombie & Fitch had a naked catalog. right before, because like, Abercrombie Fitch.
Does that make it porn?
Was this before or after?
I honestly, the way that you were talking about it, I thought there were like videos of people having intercourse.
No, they're not going to show like fucking full penetration to sell a polo shirt, dog. But well, polo shirts sell themselves. You don't need to show pearl necklaces. But
it's not what I'm asking for, to be clear. And also, I made a decision when I was 20 years old to never wear a polo shirt again.
Wow. I was going to say to never jerk off again. And I was like, I'm so sorry, man.
No, we're not that. We have one more bottle of wine before we have that conversation.
Red pill.
Yeah. Honestly, we're all MGTOW. Men going their own way. That's right.
Is that different than an incel?
It's a vol cell.
Vol cell. Got it.
And honestly, I do woodworking. I do push-ups. I walk my dog.
Do you do push-ups?
Never.
That doesn't show.
Get the fuck out of here.
You invite me into your home.
This is Kevin's home. This is the squad zone.
Canonically, both of our homes. Kevin. So, canonically, we have bunk beds in the other room. You know it.
I don't want to only talk about the Abercrombie & Fitch sex catalog, but it was like, you know how Playboy is like NC-17/R? This is like high PG-13, low R, like Titanic level bosoms. Like, not
second
every
episode
page.
In a row they've brought those up. By the way,
I've been thinking about Titanic bosoms a lot. I don't want to do this today.
I've been thinking about Titanic bosoms.
This isn't
for a while.
The episode. We're getting back to it. Just Abercrombie and Fitch used to have bosoms out catalogs. Please, for love of God, if you remember this, please confirm it with me, because I've seen it and I didn't make this one up.
We'll see.
So we're not cutting that. That's really important to me personally.
So, about nice.
I was about to say, I was expecting a lot more immediate jokes about the name of this rock.
Nice baby.
Actually, it's a pronunciation that it's like almost too obvious to joke about.
Yeah, it's like
you feel embarrassed for saying it like it's supposed to be pronounced.
Nice to meet you.
We don't have shame in this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, but nice. It's a very coarse, foliated rock.
Longer metamorphosis than schist.
Okay. Damn. Yes.
Deeper, harder, hotter. Although, according to the geology,
Death Punk song,
like the heat is not actually the thing.
Yeah,
it's not actually that hot. You could do it in your oven. You would just have to wait like many millions of years.
Right, exactly. And it's more about the pressure, right?
Yeah, you're surrounded by hard rock on all sides.
Inherently, pressure creates heat, so that might just be like at the same time.
You guys are not listening to yourselves, and like I've made so many sex jokes, and I've just not said them.
Yeah, we let you go on for 50 minutes about a fucking catalog.
That's what she said.
No, you can't have the Lego Star Wars box set.
No one's ever said that to me, because honestly, I would not
buy it for yourself. You're your own man. You have your own money.
He owns
now.
A car now.
I'm MGTOW.
Speaking of woodworking, though, this does smell like woodworking.
It does smell like varnish.
It smells like varnish, and also a little bit like there's a faint hint of that orange soap with the grain in it.
Ooh, very, yes.
You know what I mean? That you wash your hands with.
Well, it's kind of lactic, too, on the palate. Like, it does have, you know, it's – I want to see what air does to this, because this is like – I think this is a prime example of, like, the weirdly compelling awkwardness of 5 to 15-year-old Muscadet occasionally.
Would you call this as a Muscadet?
I would call – I think I'm in a position that I've tasted a lot of weird old Muscadet, and it is a favorite. It's a favorite game. If 2018 was the year of me blinding people, I've been saying to get them to call it Shannon. Like late 2016, early 2017 was the year of like Pascaline and I blinding wine professionals on old Muscadet from like the late 90s
old
and
Muscadet
seeing what they did
so
with it.
Fun.
And it's like, it is fun, but it's also,
it's weird wine.
It goes into a weird
place.
It's a
good way to like pour something for someone that isn't a trick and yet still kind of trick them.
Yeah.
Right?
You're
not like,
well,
it's a co-ferment of red and white grapes. Like, fuck you.
Yeah,
it's
you're
like,
not trying to fuck with them. You're just grape, giving them something that is gone in a... Yeah.
This
yeah.
tastes like nothing so much as a very pure Norman apple cider. Not mm-hmm. Breton, but like this is like... Am I off on this one?
No, I don't
there's
think
like
so.
A crazy apple note.
Well, there's
but
just like there's an apples and cream kind of... Mm-hmm.
There's much much less much less texture than the Norman Apple Cider would have,
which
maybe,
is infinitely
which is
superior
it's
beverage.
A wine, not a cider, but but yeah, I mean, I think like you. Weight and like flavor, yeah.
You're nearby too. Mm-hmm. You know, ultimately, we're just talking about the igneous rocks of Brittany.
Oh
we're
hell
talking
yes.
About the dark hardness of the West. Me too. Oh, good. Yeah.
It was. It's like this part of the Loire and Normandy and Brittany all have the same igneous rock that came up at the same time.
Yeah.
In the pre.
Don't you're asking me like I can't remember the
Pre-Cambrian. Pre-Cambrian area. Era.
Yeah. Well, because the Tufo limestone of like around Tours, and in the eastern part of the Loire in the Paris Basin, that's all like Upper Cretaceous.
Yep.
And so this is something else.
I
That's
would
what you said.
Love Pre-Cambrian. To see when people have turned this episode off. Like, I would love to get that data where it's like, I'm not ready for
listener
this.
Listener engaged. I don't think the problem with the data is they probably didn't turn it off. They just probably walked out of the house.
Well,
they probably just
attention.
Left their home. Yeah,
or they just like walked like off the subway platform in front of the train.
They took their headphones off.
They just walked into the ocean.
Yeah. And they're like, honestly, you know what? Death sounds tight. I don't want to listen to these
honestly,
motherfuckers.
I listened to this. Me yesterday was like listening to me today talking about rock and getting this excited about a prehistorical era. I would have just killed myself.
I may never listen to another podcast featuring me again.
It's not fun. Hearing your own voice, I had to edit these episodes. And I'm like, I cannot believe how drunk and stupid you are,
yeah.
You asshole. Like, that's a private information.
This is why I don't listen to them.
Now everybody else knows.
Did we talk about who this is?
No, buddy? Not at all.
Okay, great.
Some guy.
we actually.
I'm gonna need more of this guy.
With the exception of our last wine, which I know less about, but I'm excited by because I trust the importer, which is the same importer as the wine we're currently drinking.
Yeah, which is
we've managed to assemble importer.com.
A veritable who's who.
What is kind? I mean, it's a very like classic lineup, yeah. Right? You know, you got your Pepier, you got Luna Papan, this guy. So this is Domaine de la Coupe, which Guy Bessard, he gets, it's like 1975, he gets certified organic.
Yeah.
Which mid-70s organic certification puts you at unicorn level in terms of how early.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're doing, not just that you're doing that work, and in fact, you're at high tide for like everybody doing the exact fucking opposite, yeah. Especially in France.
There's like one guy in Muscadet, like two guys in Burgundy, yeah. Like three maybe in Beaujolais.
Yeah,
then
especially
that's it, doing
and,
it.
And actually, that puts you at...
Nobody in Champagne.
It's very close to right after, like, because the first organic certification in the world, I think, is California, CCOF.
Right, which
and
is early 70s?
Which is early 70s, late 60s, somewhere around okay. There. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I used to know this dad.
Most of the dates
date
when I see,
remember.
Like, he's one of the earliest people to adopt organic. Mid-80s. It's like 74. Like, but if it's like an early person, mm-hmm. It's like 73,
yeah.
74
or like
in
the
Europe.
80s. Like, yeah. Like,
but then in the 80s, a lot of people start. I mean,
well, a lot of, I
relatively,
mean,
a lot of people
if I hear
start
the 80s, though, I'm still like, oh, shit, like,
yeah,
you're
exactly.
OG, you know. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. But, like, to be
and,
in the 70s
And then he's been Demeter certified biodynamic for 20 years.
That's crazy, yeah.
Which is not 90s. Real, by the way. But I'm just, we're kidding.
Astrology. These guys, some geologist somewhere, like, your one geologist listener sitting here being like, they got all the rock facts wrong. Now they're talking about biodynamics. These
yeah.
Guys are anti-scientific. This is why.
I hate
not climate
science.
Change.
Why
this is why the world
is
going.
Okay.
Did we
but the other thing I want to say, so Guy Bessard obviously founds the estate, is organic biodynamics in terms of the vinification, the work in the vineyard, like stunning and way ahead of its time. Also worth noting, I can't remember if it's a harder or soft G, even though I've met him a couple times, Fred N, who now runs the estate after Guy
where
Bessard's
is there
retirement.
A G in Fred?
Well, N. Is where there, it's
okay.
N-I-G-E-R. So ask Fred how his last name is pronounced.
Oh no!
No, yeah. Well it's a long I. So yeah. You're no danger. Okay. Anyway,
let's
but
go
he,
soft.
He
to
started
be safe.
Working. He started working with Guy in 2009.
Yeah.
So this postdates his involvement with the estate, and then he took over fully after Guy's retirement in 2014. Although Guy is still like around in
sure.
Some sort of consulting capacity, mm-hmm. But also if you will notice, I think they're like in terms of the he's making a lot of different like experimental he's like a wine lover, and I think he's continuing the spirit of the estate, but he's also there.
I met this guy at Raw, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, he was there at Raw. You know, he's a character. Like he has energy. He's
moderately rude, but he's a very nice guy.
He's both.
He's French.
Conceivably.
He's extremely French.
Is he French? I think he's Belgian.
What's the difference, dog?
Actually, let me tell you about Belgians.
Oh, now we're doing European racism. Now, okay, I'm ready.
It's stereotyping. Also, interestingly, I don't think they make Gneiss anymore. I think they just make Orthic Gneiss and Granite.
Can we talk about Orthic Gneiss?
Orthic Gneiss is a subtype.
They celebrate
of
Easter a week later than the rest of the
house. It's because of it's how it's what it's derived from.
Correct.
That is the difference.
Let the record show that James has opened a book.
I'm opening a book.
He's flipping through the pages of
his
dark
grimoire. I have
it in my phone
if you want to not look at the book, but I have to look it up again.
Orthic Gneiss, igneous origin.
Yes.
Paragneiss, sedimentary origin. Not that. So again, this guy says that it doesn't matter what the origin is with metamorphic rocks, really, that in the end, the tree you turn into,
nice
regardless
nice,
of poetic
right?
justice, is nice, is very nice.
But from what I can understand, orthonice is specified, and if it just says nice, it's probably paranice.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
That's what it seems to be, because it'll be like, this is nice, and this is orthonice. Mm. So if you're specifying one, the other one must be the other, right?
Yeah, or
this
it's mixed.
This is so boring for people.
And I feel
so
bad
sorry.
For the Duck fans who are waiting for a 9/11 joke, and I don't have one right now.
Or like an unprompted attack on a government official, or like a call for assassinations of various Supreme Court justices.
Hey, if you're listening right now, why don't you put a bullet in his head?
All right, there's our first cut, everybody.
There's our first cut. Just beep out the word bullet.
Put a blank in his head.
That's actually, I would pay for that beep. Speaking of porn shops, so other things to think about. There's actually very little information about this wine online, which
it's
is to say that
good.
The tech sheet. If you go to the website and you like download the Domaine de la Coupe tech sheet for Orthic Gneiss, mm-hmm. what you get is approximately a half page of suggested food pairings and tasty notes.
That's what the people want.
And
should
and
I
like,
eat this with a hot dog?
Like
didn't say.
Average
I
age of the vines and like description of how long everything's been certified biodynamic, which is cool. But to my knowledge, I don't know that it's a single plot. I don't know if it's like different parcels that are all like unified by them being on Orthic.
And it's not crew,
it's not
right?
actually
it's,
that
it's just
no, to my knowledge.
The whole idea, from what I understand, is that like Guy was the first guy to be like, let me focus on what it was grown on. So he
right.
did all these different bottlings.
Do you know where
here's
this is?
Here's the nice, here's the other nice.
No.
That's cool. This wine's good. It's very good.
Super fun. The oxidative character is super delicious.
Oh, absolutely. I need
are
to
we
get
understanding
more joke
that
juice.
That to be
did
like.
Did we mention the vintage, by the way?
I don't think so.
2012. It's 2012. So yeah. I really wanted to, and I'm glad we actually, there's two on the table, but I really wanted to bring, personally, like when I was shopping for a bottle, I really wanted to bring Old Muscadet because I think, A, like we were talking about before, it is like there's a weirdness that is really compelling. I don't think that anything really tastes like Old Muscadet in terms of like
– I will say I had a – I'm sorry I'm doing this again.
No,
I had
no,
a
no.
2002 Chablis two nights ago that did similar things in terms of its evolution once open.
Who was the producer?
Oh, God. I don't remember. I was really
I'm just
drunk.
Curious. What, was it Clodelies from Prevostat? Because they've been doing some. Okay,
I can look it up, but you keep saying what you were saying,
anyway,
and then I'll get to it.
But like, so I really wanted to bring something. So because I do think it does these kind of weird, interesting things. I think partly as a consequence of like long lees aging, plus high acidity, plus like all these other things, you get like this combination of like autolytic, like yeasty flavors, this intense savoriness, the saline quality.
Nothing's been that yeasty, I feel like. Everything's been like.
Yeah, I mean, it's all gone in a different direction, hasn't yeah. it? Maybe arguably the Excelsior was the most yeasty in the sense of being the most batonage.
Certainly more than this one, yeah.
Like,
this one's
but
like
it tastes
still,
like batonage.
This one's
like,
still
like,
crystal clear and like very sharp.
That's true.
I don't know
well,
if
mellow, I would say.
I would. There's absolutely none. Like it's still laser beam.
I wonder if he filters. I bet it. You know who filters? Nicolas Joly filters.
So whoa, like, fuck! Call it out.
No, not even calling it. Just like I mean, he's not, it's not like a secret. But like, old school biodynamic guys were not shy about filtering for stability.
I don't think
it's a different era of winemaking.
I don't think
too.
Filtering's a problem.
I don't think. I certainly don't think that
if you have a,
I don't think it's something
reason.
You can't do. Like that would be a very silly thing for me to say.
Well, it's people say it.
that you can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
extremely,
a lot of people...
Extremely natty people say filtering isn't natural.
But they also argue with you about, like, a $14 glass pour.
Sure. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm saying people do make that argument, and it is annoying.
Filtering is also the thing that I've most commonly had people lie to me about.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've met Italians.
I've met distributors.
I would never... I'd never do.
And some of them unknowingly. Like, I've definitely had a rep tell me, like, oh, everything's unfiltered.
Wait.
And then I taste one wine, and there's residual sugar. Yeah. And I'm like, this is interesting. This has sugar. Like, did he filter this? And they're like, oh, I don't know. Maybe. And I'm like, because, like, you know, if you don't filter it and it has sugar...
It's going to re-ferment.
You're taking a risk. And, like, you could be like Escoda Sanujar and bottle everything in champagne bottle with crown cap and just say, okay, if it does...
It does.
Yeah. Like, it does, and it's going
to
be a pet now.
Wait, time out. To be Muscadet Severmen, you actually cannot filter.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's part of the appellation.
Is that true?
Yes.
No, you shit,
have to
really?
I'm sorry. To be bottled as Muscadet Sur Lee, my mistake, you have to bottle off the lees. You cannot filter.
Well, no. Wait. But that's not synonymous.
No, you're right.
I mean, you're just taking it off.
I made a mistake. So to bottle Muscadet Sur Lee,
you can't rack.
You cannot rack or filter. I wrote this down specifically today because I was like, that's a crazy thing. Muscadet,
but it generally doesn't go through Malo.
But this doesn't say Sir Lee on it.
No. But
so he could have
because
filtered it
because he does it longer than the. Mm-hmm. This right. is the. By the way, listeners, this is the craziness about. You'll read about this in your studies.
it's one of those weird things where if you go over.
Like the one thing that you read in every single fucking Muscadet article. Yeah. It's like, wow, the crazy thing about Sir Lee is that not only is it a minimum lees age, but it's a maximum. Oh, and a lot of the guys that are the most quality, like the age
this
of
is
the
about
longest
when I was
lees,
telling
like,
my wife today about this, where she looked at me with hate in her eyes.
That kind of paragraph is actually my least favorite thing about reading about wine. So yeah. That's why I did it in my high parody voice.
It can't be 100% Sangiovese, and it can't be. Not too much Sangiovese. So.
Minimum must weight is X, but like if it's 85%, you can blend in Colorino.
Is this a cold issue? Is this just like because
a combination of cold and pH?
Because like
talvez, but you're still
legitimately none of the second wine maybe hit a little bit of Malo, but nothing was full Malo.
If it's partial, it's dangerous unless you're filtering. I'd also by the way, like everybody's doing, like it's all like glass lined underground tanks and shit.
Yeah.
So you don't have
cement or
enamel,
right? Right. Yeah.
Right. So you don't have the issue of maliculture inoculating in barrel. Mm-hmm.
Do our friends?
Gosh, I wish I knew more about malolactic and Muscadet. Wow, I don't fucking know.
No,
anything.
But like, you cannot.
Man. I just know that generally for blind tasting, like if you're in between Chablis and Muscadet, like this is one. And
it's
I'm
one
not
of the, it's one of the
those
things
exams,
you go
so I don't
one
care. But like that's
other,
how
yeah.
that's one way.
But like
that,
you all I know is that for Sur Lee, you can't filter, and I'm assuming that for the higher appellations,
I am running straight home. This is fascinating.
You cannot.
Like, I want to read about this.
I lost my mind. I was like, because like they're all. Anyone who's making Muscadet Sur Lee is like floating in the natural tank, like the natty wine dorkhead tank, just because you can't filter it.
You know, I have had Muscadet that went through Malo, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, like Joe Landron and what's the other one? That Selection Massault or Importer.com brings them in.
The
but it's called Complementaire. It's like the kids of like the of like these benchmark producers in Muscadet are making this wine, and that is Muscadet that is like pretty natty, like zero low sulfur, I think zero sulfur.
It's like Degrassi, the
goes through Malo, and it's like Malo and Unlees, and it's weird. It's okay. I had one that was a little mousy. Otherwise, they're pretty good.
Yeah,
it's terroir. We're all joking. We're all laughing. We're all not serious about that shit.
Vomited in my microphone.
Can we hop into the next niece?
Let's
like
finish
that.
It.
Nice. No, oh my God!
Well,
Kevin, how many minutes are we in this podcast?
Well, like an hour 15. So I just want to keep the train rolling.
We're great.
I wouldn't right. mind tasting the other because
I think it'll be nice to go back and forth between them. Yeah,
I like going back and forth.
Cool. I will take. There was something I was gonna say. Oh,
merci.
Well, just in terms of filtration, I also
find
this that
this is
like,
so much clearer.
Europeans like to they don't consider certain things real things unless it's like extreme. So they'd be like, oh, I don't filter. I just use a coarse filter.
Mm.
Like, okay, well, you use the word filter both times.
This tastes like charcoal.
Or they'll say, I don't drink anymore. I just have beer and cocaine.
This is very clean.
Yo soy Lyco. Domaine des Borg, which Kevin and I made a bunch of Star Trek jokes.
Hot Borgs.
Hot Borgs. I'm not a Trekkie, but like
my mom. My mom is an OG.
Wow.
We had TOS on taped video cassettes.
How'd she get such a jock kid?
I know, right? Okay. What a frat boy.
This wine on the nose a little bit smells like a urinal cake.
Hmm. Yes, that's correct. So these guys are fourth generation winemakers. So all of the muscats we've had
are their parents, grandparents, and great grandparents. Yeah. Salute you, sir.
Everything we've had before is a Sèvremen, and like within.
Is this a different appellation?
This is Côte de Grandlieu, which is
weird.
By the way, there's 250 species of birds in Grandlieu Lake.
Fewer and fewer every year.
And honestly, I would say a lot of them are probably pretty cute. So this is southeast of Nantes.
I've never met a bird.
Don't objectify
like
them.
And these guys are Raisiné.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry,
must
guys.
Be hard,
for
huh?
Our
I was
going to
ask about farming. this tastes like somebody who's really reasonably struggling.
Yeah, it's mean, you know.
They're struggling.
When I wake up and I'm like, I'm on a diet, but like I need a seamless burger just because I'm hungover, that's like loot Raisiné.
You guys are all motherfuckers. This is $24 at Aster. You find me another bottle from 2007 at Aster for less than $40.
I will say it is insanely fresh for 2007 and that.
Yeah, because all the loot Raisiné
they've
been
doing.
All the
loot Raisiné up in it is doing some work, huh?
You know, honestly, I don't drink a lot of wine that has as much sulfur as this. But this tastes a lot like it sulfur, doesn't it?
I didn't know Sèvremen was up in this club.
Oh,
I can taste the sulfur.
You can't? Are you so blind to your own privilege?
Yeah, I mean, it tastes super clean. It's old as fuck, but nothing's happened to it. How is that possible?
I feel so mean for making fun of everybody. It's unusually clean for this age.
Yeah.
My eyebrow is raised.
But my impression of Sèvremen was perfect.
I'm going to send that to her. Don't worry, it's by boat. It's like it's going to take 6 months to get to us.
If she answered any of my emails, I'd be concerned.
The French don't use email.
It's been like nine decades. Legally, they can't answer emails from Wednesday till Tuesday.
No, that's when they do naps.
It's time for my l'affaire. This is different. Hmm. So I've only had Muscadet Sèvremen. Essentially, this is one of the other ones. It's one of the newest appellations that's not a sub-appellation. In 1996, whatever the fuck this is, I wrote it down, but I did do drunk. Côte de Grandlieu.
So what are the parameters of that? Like, what made it different?
It is actually, according to...
People asked.
According to Poliner, who are good people and don't ever lie about wine, it is sheltered from the...
Are you sarcastic?
I don't even know anymore. They import wine, so they definitely lie. Like, there's
definitely.
No... Definitely lie.
Dear Poliner, I like your book. Sincerely, James.
I love their book.
I like every book sometimes.
That's not true.
Sometimes.
I do not like every book.
I have got some books I don't like. We'll talk about this later. And you know what?
Like off mic?
They're very good books and I hate them. We'll talk about it later. These guys are sheltered from the storms that actually rack Sèvremen according to the Poliner website.
Oh, I read that online somewhere. Because they're like somehow between the three bodies of water and like it protects them when the storms come and they don't hit them.
I've never had a Muscadet from this region, which is neither. Why I bought it. Yeah. It was $24 in the Aster Cold Room.
This
Which
tastes...
means that it's they don't sell wine from there. It's a lot sweeter.
Are you trolling me?
I'm winking at
him. I was about to say, he just winked at me five times.
Oh, this is sweet.
This is sweet. Is this Moscato?
You know what's fascinating is how oft... That is... We haven't talked... might have talked about it in your Muscadet podcast, which I didn't listen
how,
to.
Like maybe for the fourth episode this month, we'll just drink Moscato. As a joke,
this does taste like the back of your mouth right before you barf.
You could drink Muscatel,
right? Or Muscat d'Alexandria. Like there are so many
you could do. Actually, like the third episode should just be like a fucking Zabibo episode out of nowhere.
Another Zabibo episode.
Wow, this is a really surprising. Whoa, what did you say?
They're playing Zabibo's theme music.
I picture like the Hulk jumping out into the arena versus Thor and Ragnarok.
Oh, I don't love this.
No. I don't really
I'm
like
glad
it
you
all.
Said it first. Yeah, I didn't want to be the asshole who was like...
It's hard to drink this after the wines we just had. I'm glad we didn't finish the other bottle because I want to go back to it really quickly.
I value this comparison.
Yeah.
I feel a little bit like an asshole, but I value... like.
It's the eldest.
This is... It's not... But, mm-hmm.
It's not.
It's the oldest it's, the same
it's
way
the,
that, like...
It's the deadest.
Just because you've been in a cryogenic chamber for 100 years doesn't make you 125 years old. You know what I mean? Like, you're still only 25.
I mean, what
canonically,
if
you're
25 undead?
Years old. That's a different
This is
story.
A Dracula-ass bitch.
I would rather drink... Honestly, I find more joy from an undead bottle, like a bottle that has died and come back to life, than a bottle that never lived.
Is this good?
This tastes like a wine that has not lived.
Is this good radio? Sound off in the comments. We're all drinking the other wine.
So here we go.
This is so Lot Raisiné. Apparently, the raisiné
the liquor was weird, but it's so much better.
Apparently, yeah. The Lot they raisinade was sulfur. This is a bottle for your friends who have kids and a real lifestyle.
Just to be serious, is like that bottle. If you brought it to someone's house, they'd be like, oh, this is not like this.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Nothing wrong
with
it.
There's nothing right with it. There's just nothing wrong with it.
It doesn't, yeah. I think we can just tell because we've drank too much wine and we're...
I don't want to cuddle with it.
That, like, something's fake with it.
I was so jazzed about this.
There are wine professionals who would really be into this, and that makes me sadder. I know some all who would, like, taste this one. No, they're, like, my age. They're boomers at heart, though.
Yeah.
They would be like... The absence of detectable, like, there's nothing to hang your hat on besides the excess of sulfur and the general lack of dimension. But you can't say, ooh, it's got VA, yeah. Ooh, it's mousy, ooh, it's bready, ooh, it's lactose, whatever.
These are your friends
you could just
be
say,
like,
this doesn't move me. This doesn't have, yeah, sorry.
No, you go on.
No.
No, please. I insist. It's Duck's turn to talk. Okay.
My sister, like, tried to call me out because she was talking about Chateau Diana and was like, Leslie, that's not wine.
Yeah.
And she was like, you are so elite. And I'm like, Leslie, there is an ingredients label.
Yeah.
Like, wine is like the third ingredient. There's and then there's other shit. And she was like, oh. And I was like, yeah, it's not wine.
Which is fine.
Talking
cheese wizards
and siblings
cheese.
About
it's still
wine
delicious.
Is insane. Where it's like, oh, okay. My sister made me drink a bottle of wine from Pennsylvania. It's called Miner's Daughter.
Oh, that's...
I want to drink that.
There's nothing wrong with wine from Pennsylvania.
Well, that's a good one.
Oh my god, that's awful.
And so we're back.
Miner's Daughter.
We just discussed all the candidates and Pennsylvania, and we found them all lacking.
Thank you for hanging a lampshade on the fact that we should
cut
everything.
Get us into a conversation again if you'd like.
Okay. We cut a lot, right?
Yeah,
a lot.
We knew we were going to.
We knew it, but not that much.
Alice Firing and Pascaline's book, The Dirty Guide to Wine. Book. David Lilly from Chamber Street about aging Muscadet, and he implies that wines grown on gneiss have less aging potential than those grown on granite.
They're supposed to be more accessible earlier on?
Sure.
I don't think we have the data in front of us in terms of what we're drinking.
None of these
sure,
are...
Well, we only
like,
have
I mean,
nice,
because
granite,
I... Well, but. No, I just... Because also, but I think the aging curve is like 3 decades.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, none David Lilly are... is talking about a guy... Is talking as a guy who's drunk these wines back to the...
70s.
No, yeah. None of these are old.
Old, no.
No. They're all, like... They're all consumer
old. That's actually true, because his quote is that... Nice... You can get 2 to 5 years out of... Orthonice, you can get 4 to 8 years out of. Granite, you can get 5 to infinity years out of.
He was misquoted. Who's going to say wine can't last 5 years? That's someone who doesn't want.
Who
does not want to sell wine?
I would say that all like 90%, 95% of real wine should last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It won't necessarily have
100% should last.
I mean.
What do you guess? Beaujolais Nouveau?
I'm just trying to hedge my bets.
Yeah, of course, but
I never want to say 100% anything.
Wine,
for...
Good natty wine that is shouldn't be drank after 2 years.
No, there isn't. There is natty wine that should not be drunk in 5 years. There is not good natty wine that should not be drunk in 5 years. If it tastes so bad in 5 years, You have not made wine, my friend. You've made Coca-Cola.
I like Coca-Cola.
Yeah, but Coca-Cola will also last like 1,000 years. So, in fact, you've made, I don't know, you've made, what's worse than Coca-Cola?
Mr.
You've
Pib.
Made beer.
I like beer.
I'm uncomfortable with signing off on any absolutist declaration whatsoever, but I will say that one of the, and to my friends in the industry who have not had this experience, and they're probably not listening, but
yeah, no one in the industry listens.
But they should.
No, I know.
And they should donate.
You know, I have particular people in mind. When I like one of the profoundest experiences of my career was being lucky enough to work with a bunch of low intervention wines that have been accidentally aged in like Rouge offsite storage for 2 years, and like arguably like shouldn't have been held on to for as long as they were. But like, you know, some Ardèche Czech French punk rocker whose wines I don't necessarily get behind at the best of times.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
I know. There's like five of them. Like from 2011, his Pet Nat, which I remember being mousy on release, tasting great in 2017.
Yes.
That's a very humbling moment to open that and be like, what happened to you? Oh, you're better?
Yes. Age.
What?
Age is
at least
good.
Like settled into yourself. You're right. Like the version of you at 35 rather than the version of you at 16 or whatever.
Right, right.
Well, we both had cars.
I've never owned a car.
Really?
Never. My driver's license is expired.
Damn.
You still own a car.
You want a ride, bitch? Let me know.
I could use a ride.
Well, I will drive you
in
wet.
An automobile.
Right now, yeah. Let's all get in the car right now, actually.
This is like comedians getting coffee.
Comedians drinking wine, getting
day drinking. Yeah. Wine professionals getting more wine.
Alcoholics driving in Casey's car.
Did we finish all the earlier bottles too? Because now we have a half bottle. Of this
yeah, list. I know. It's so sad. We can find other stuff to drink, but maybe we should wrap this up a little bit. So
yeah,
we're metamorphic rock, right?
Yeah,
it's tight.
Nice. We're schist. There's the one that we didn't do. Amphibolite.
Is that one
of these motherfuckers has amphibolite up in their
yeah,
bitch.
But it's the other kind. It's the non-proliferated.
Oh, it's the one without the foliage.
He has a yeah. book here,
which
guys.
It is the basis of it is like foliage.
He has a grimoire.
Leaves are pages or paper.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we have to go now.
We're gonna go. So we did metamorphic. We're gonna do granite next.
Are we?
Or something?
We're doing a thing. I guess granite next.
Yeah. I called it.
Granted, next with...
Do you have any advice for us as we go into the next part without you? Like, what should we look for in granite?
Apparently, according to David Lilly, like, great ageability. Actually, if you can get somebody to bring you, like, ancient Muscadet, that would be a trip.
We haven't
even talked about Muscadet as corked, by the way.
Oh, I know. I've tried
to
bring
it's
up
a weird.
Times.
I mean, it...
None of these tasted corked.
But, like, there is a weird...
Muscadet can
dear
give...
Dear friends, it can smell weird.
A weird... musky, if you will, note that can be read as
this sort of
cork,
cedary, like,
but it's not. You just got to throw it in a decanter, let it breathe for a sec.
Or if it is corked, it's going to get worse. But right. You're going to find out real
You'll
fast.
You'll find out soon if it's a problem or not.
So we're having Aldo Somme on the next episode. So this will be very exciting to find out what he says about granite.
Oh, the two other things I say to guests at wine bars. Sorry, I'm just talking right
yes.
over you. You don't have to have a decanter. Use a vase.
Yep.
Wash it out with the same wine first so that it tastes like the wine and not
yep.
like the vase because
yep.
you don't have to buy a fancy decanter. Vase. Just like throw it into a container.
Yep.
I mean, this is true
Put
for a lot
a
of natural wine because there's a lot of like reduction. Every flaw except mouse is going to like get better with air.
Yep.
So if you open a wine that some idiot with glasses with a side part, this white dude like in their early 30s
I'm
sold
here.
You who was talking too much. I'm talking about myself.
Oh.
Wait, who are you?
I'm.
Oh, you look like me.
Wait, I thought you guys were.
I feel like I'm staring into a mirror.
Another version of me.
Should we reshoot the video of Ironic with all
Yes,
of
we should.
Decanting wine. It's good. That's all I had to say. Sorry.
Great PSA.
Old Muscadet, right now, buy it before it becomes expensive. Like, we did this because we think this is going to be the next thing. Like, it's going to be the next thing. Old Muscadet is too good for you to be ignoring it. All of the wines, even the one that we didn't like, are pretty good. The one we didn't like is not that good. But the rest of them are pretty good.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/justgorgeous.
Yep.
T-shirts. Get our Burgundy Ogre t-shirt. Kevin's
oh, yeah,
making soon.
Blast that out right now. nice. Let's talk about your stuff. You do your classes.
I do. Well, we in general, we do classes at company. Wine boot camps.
Very cool.
In and out in under an hour, level up, pretty affordable. $49. The idea is like you can do it and not think too hard about signing up for it.
Are there babes? Every gender.
Everyone who goes is canonically a babe.
That's exactly. You're upgraded to exactly.
Yeah, like, bettering their knowledge.
You may not enter the room a babe, but you leave a beb.
So the babosity is very high.
If you're horned, good company.
You're also doing one specifically tailored to wine professionals, which is cool.
That is true.
The day this episode comes out.
That's the first one. You're going to do more, hopefully, if it works, right?
If people show up to the first one, I'm super psyched to keep doing it. Because, like, I know for me, if somebody was like, oh, come to my class on Tuesday at 6 p.m., I would be working till the end of time.
Sure.
So something daytime where we can all geek out together in a safe space.
Like a Monday around noon or so, right?
Exactly.
So, like, a daytime. Yeah. We're going to do some more of those for people in the industry, which is cool.
And, like, come to those. Again, like, most of our fans are deeply stupid and flawed.
Mm-hmm.
But,
like us.
You can learn a lot.
We've made them in our image.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can learn a lot, and you can become cool and chill.
Yeah. Cool, man. All right, well, I guess we're going to sign off here. Thanks for listening.
I feel cooler and chiller having known
you. I love that you're so cool and chill, dog.
Muscomé has been a great success so far. I can't wait for 3 more episodes.
You know what this 07 tastes like? This tastes like most Chablis.
Get out of town, bitch.
It is as good as Sancerre.
It tastes like Sancerre.
It doesn't taste anything like Sauvignon Blanc. No, this tastes like most Chablis.
Mm. So we're going to have a fight now. also, just a quick joke about Star Wars. Rey is a clone of the Emperor. I love you guys. See you later. Bye.
Disgorgeous.